Welcome to Let's Talk, a Bethel Lutheran Church podcast that asks, what can we do to end racism in Wisconsin and here in Madison? Your hosts for Let's Talk are members of Bethel's A Call to Justice and Mercy team.
Hello and welcome, everyone. This is Wilda Nelson-Stoon on behalf of ACTJAM at Bethel Lutheran Church. And Leon and I are going to be talking to our guest today, who is Laura Dresser of the Center on Wisconsin Strategy, or COWS, based here in Madison at the university. And she's going to be talking to us about a very important report that was released recently called Race in the Heartland. You can find a link to that at the ACTJAM page of Bethel's website. This report was recently done. It makes clear that the extent to which racial inequality is a defining feature of Wisconsin, that's a direct quote. Laura is the Associate Director of COWS and Assistant Clinical Professor in the School of Social Work. So let's get started. Laura, what should we take away from this report about racial disparity in Wisconsin?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me, of course, and to talk about this important topic. I think probably the first thing to take away is that I think it's pretty easy to feel like, well, racial disparity is just something that every state in this nation has, and we're just like everywhere else. And I suppose the first takeaway from this report is that the distance between average outcomes for Black people in this state and white people in this state, that distance, that disparity is greater in this state than, consistently the greatest in the nation, the worst in the nation in terms of the distance between white and Black outcomes at all kinds of measures, social measures, educational measures, economic measures. And so that's what this report does, is lays that out. How does Wisconsin compare to other states? And how does the reality, the average, the median experience of white folks in the state differ from the median experience of Black folks in the state?
So that's what you mean by disparity data.
Yeah, disparity here. It's important to have your eye on that because it isn't always the case, although it occasionally is, that Wisconsin is actually the worst possible for Black people. But what is consistently the case is that the systems in this state, the educational systems, the healthcare system, the school system, work better than the national average for white people. That is, white people in this state do better than their national cohorts. Black people in this state do well worse than Black people on average in the nation. That's what I mean when I say disparity. And it's unique in Wisconsin, although it's shared across the Midwest. So it isn't always the worst possible position for Black people, but it is the biggest disparity between the white experience and the Black experience. These are always measures of that difference.
So Laura, you looked at disparities across the life cycle from birth on. For me, the most concerning is Black infant mortality because it's at the very beginning of the life cycle. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. And I should say, I'm an economist and have spent a lot of my life working on low-wage jobs and racial inequality. I'm not a public health person, but this data, I really think, and agree with you, Anne, is a call to action. So Black infants in the state are 3 times more likely than white infants to die. And that disparity is the 4th worst in the nation. And that's a lot of the negative outcomes and context of being Black, the stress of being Black, the often impoverishment and lack of access to healthcare of being Black in this state, even in infant mortality. And so from the very start, I agree, that one is a really shocking and concerning statistic.
So when you're talking about racial disparity, are we comparing only Black and white results, or is it all people of color?
This report focuses on Black versus white. And I guess I would say a couple things about that. The first is that Wisconsin is unique in its Black-white disparity. It is more average in its Latino white disparity. The structure of disparity there, it looks much more like the national averages. That doesn't mean that the disparity is acceptable. It's important to remember, right, that we should be motivated by national levels of disparity between Black and white experience. We shouldn't need to be worst in the nation to care about this, but the fact that we are probably should motivate us. But also then, to the question of other levels of disparity, then you would find, I think, not across the board, but much closer to the averages on the Latino white disparity. Although it's harder, the data is a little less complete there. And then other groups and smaller groups, it's very hard to get this sort of data to speak to those issues. And so, so there is significant disparity faced by the Asian American community, specifically, especially the Hmong community in this state. The indigenous, the tribal nations of this state face substantial disparity. And to focus on the Black-white disparity is not to say that these other axes of inequality don't matter. But I do think that there is a unique story of race in this state, and that is what this report draws an attention to.
What's the most striking thing for you about this report on racial disparity? I mean, if you had to pick out the biggest negative.
So we've done this report more than once. We've updated the data, and we did this, we released this in connection with a national, a national report that focuses on the 13 states in the Midwest. And because I had a different resource, it looked at some things that were new to me. So this time around, the differences in home ownership, I would have guessed, but it was verified by this data, and I hadn't ever looked at that. So eighth worst in the terms of the disparity in home ownership. But I think what has been the root and has not changed is these economic measures are deeply disparate, that household income for whites is twice what it is for Blacks in this state. $60,000 for a white household in this state, $30,000 for a Black household in this state. That level of disparity, that's when I'm talking about disparities, that's like two times as much income for the white as the Black. That is the third biggest gap in the nation. And I really think that when you have such enormous levels of economic inequality, you know, housing and health and education follow on their heels. I know these are all systems, and so it's not easily, you know, there's a little chicken and eggness to all of this, but for me, these deep disparities at the economic level are the ones that are rebounding through these other social measures.
So how pervasive are these disparities across the state? I mean, we're here in Madison. The temptation is to say, well, it's not like that here.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's different ways we let ourselves off the hook on this one, right? Right. The one is like, well, not here. I think the Race to Equity Project really shone the light on racial disparity inside Dane County and said, yes, that story is here too. It is true that Wisconsin, at 80% of the Black population or so, I haven't looked at the latest data on this, but last I looked, 80% of the Black population or so lives in Milwaukee, Racine, Kenosha, the Lakeshore counties. So the heart of the story of racial disparity in this state does live there. But it is also the case that Milwaukee is our biggest city. It is the city that generates income and innovation for the whole state. And how that city goes is deeply related to how this state functions. And so I think when you look in other places all over the state, you will find disparity. You may not find the worst in the nation, you may find, but you will find high levels of disparity. But on net, this state is carrying this level of disparity in our most significant population center and our most significant economic engine. And solving that focusing on that and solving that there, in addition to all over the state, is something that is about this state working for all of us.
So how is racial disparity in Wisconsin like other parts of the Midwest? How is our story like the Midwest story?
So I think sometimes when we want to, when we think about racial disparity and when we ever apply a historical lens, we want to think that racial disparity was born in the South in the system of slavery, and that the legacy of that system lives in the South and would be found there, that the deepest disparities would be found rooted in the location where the slavery was carried out. What the Midwest shares is that it was a site of the Great Migration out of the South. And the Midwest, a lot of what brought people out of the South, people fleeing Jim Crow and the systems of racial apartheid in the South, was economic opportunity in manufacturing jobs in urban centers throughout the Midwest. So that's one thing, is this question of economic opportunity that was, not perfectly open, but actually provided a higher standard of living. So if you look in 1979, for example, Black workers in Wisconsin earned more than the average Black worker in the nation. And that had everything to do with unionized city manufacturing jobs in the city of Milwaukee. But also, they moved into highly segregated communities. The Midwest didn't have slavery, but with the systems of migration came intense structures of physical residential segregation. And that story is shared across the Midwest and documented pretty well about the different ways that redlining and the action of governments and the action of lenders and the action of landlords and police departments created deep segregation. In the 1980s, we run into manufacturing job loss, a collapse in our industrial infrastructure that focuses on cities, on union jobs, and devastates this economic base. And it is true that this devastates both the white and Black community, but it uniquely impacts the Black community in this state. So in 1979, Black workers and white workers make a little bit more than the national average. By now, Black workers in the state, a little below the national average. White workers in the state, still at the national average. But that has everything to do with losing that manufacturing opportunity, losing those union jobs, and being isolated and facing intense racism, trying to get to communities where jobs are. So that's, I think, what the Midwest shares.
How do we know this is good data?
That's a fine question. This is the best possible data, by which I mean, this is federal data from the Census Bureau and on outcomes. Generally, it's from the American Community Survey, which is the Census Bureau product with the best sample size and the most applicability at the state level. There's a few that come from other sources, but always nationally representative samples, generally publicly available. You know, I think this is the best possible data. It's publicly available, and you could go to it if you could survive different ways through the census website and downloading the data, you'd end up with the same thing, right? Like, this isn't, the question here isn't like, did we cook this some way? This is what anyone would find. Some people would measure things on absolutes, not differences. That is, whether I subtract Wisconsin, you know, the difference, or I do a ratio, Wisconsin is always going to be among the worst.
So some of the most extreme racial disparities in Wisconsin you have already referred to as economic and housing and education. Is that accurate or extreme?
I think that the two that are especially concerning on the economic side, right, I mentioned the income, which is a good way to just see that distance. But another thing to see is that the Black engagement in the labor force and unemployment is higher in the state than most places. And so I think it's inevitable that if the rewards to work are very small and the incarceration rates, Black people in the state are 11 times more likely to be incarcerated than white people. That disparity, that's an order of magnitude, right? 11 times more likely, really a crisis level of disparity there. You end up with really destructive economic opportunities and realities. And so you can see it in unemployment and approach to labor markets and incarceration as well.
People are not likely to act upon issues that they're not aware of or acknowledge that they're problematic. So why are so many white Wisconsinites so unaware of the level of disparities and the causes in Wisconsin?
I think it's hard to see distance, right? One reason is because we tend to be around people who are a lot like ourselves a lot of the time. And so the distance between our reality and someone else's reality that we don't have relationships with is very hard to see. I think another reason is that it's painful to see this and to talk about it. I think that this question we sometimes want to answer with a kind of sense of personal responsibility that, you know, where I am has to do with what I've done in my life, and where other people are has to do with what they've done. And the distance between that isn't something I need to think about. So sometimes I think we look away both because if we're doing okay, you know, we want to credit ourselves for that. And sometimes we look away just because we don't have time. People have a lot of things they're doing and they don't always pay attention to the whole social context. But thinking about this and thinking about why this is true is really an absolute imperative for all of us. And then I think seeing it is also not just about the data, but also really paying attention to the voices of Black organizations, Black leadership, Black movements that are calling attention to this and asking and demanding and showing what possible answers are. And so for me, you know, there's a responsibility to learn and to think and to analyze, and also a responsibility to do part of that by listening and following and really trying to find connections outside of the places that are easiest to connect.
Good points.
Wisconsin consistently ranks at the bottom or close to the bottom in racial disparity. How do you explain that?
Wisconsin has some of the worst disparities in the nation, I think, because of the unique interaction of migration, residential segregation, and manufacturing job loss that impacted all of the Midwest, but especially Milwaukee, that devastated the Black community in Milwaukee and isolated it from economic opportunity.
It seems important to make people more aware of what is meant by systemic racism. To what extent do you think that Wisconsinites generally accept or acknowledge that racism is at the core of these disparities?
I suppose you'd get as many answers to that question as there are people in this state. I think one thing that I try to do with this is to show a picture, a synthetic picture that demonstrates the distance and the impact of policy on that distance. If you see disparity and you see it happening systematically and because of history and policy, you can begin to see racism as a system, as opposed to the question, I think we so want to see individuals. We want to blame and credit and imagine that everything happens at an individual level. And so when we talk about how do we want to solve this problem, we suggest education. Education in the sense that a specific person should get a better degree, not education in the sense that Milwaukee schools need more money, right? And so for me, I'm trying with this document and with the people I have learned from and with, you know, what I'm trying to show is the way both that we have this great disparity that's experienced by individuals, but that is the product of systems and can be solved or reduced. I don't know if solved is a little strong, but must part of the solution, part of reducing these disparities is focusing on investment, reparations, remediation, focusing on closing the gap in those sorts of ways.
So what kinds of things should we be doing?
At an individual level, you know, I really celebrate you all for doing this, for having this program at your church, for taking on the issues, for thinking and learning and operating where possible, you know, in solidarity and listening and following and supporting Black leadership, Black voices, Black movements. I think at a social level, there's all sorts of things that we need to do that I would suggest that would move us in the direction of greater racial equality. And some of those things are actually universal programs that have equalizing impact. I've worked a lot on the structure of low-wage jobs in this state and this nation, and raising the minimum wage is one way that actually disproportionately helps Black workers. There's more Black workers, more women, more people of color at the bottom of the labor market. When we raise that floor, we also generate equality. So that's a universal policy with disproportionate positive impact on Black workers. That sort of policy matters to me. Accepting the expansion of Medicare in the state is another universalist policy that would have equalizing impact on the Black and white populations, because it is the Black population facing the more desperate situation with regard to healthcare. So some universal policies are part of, I think, the things that we should explore to try and close the gap. And then a second kind of area of policy that I think of that is really critical to closing the gap is targeted policy. I think we need to think about the direct anti-Black racist roots of many of these problems. And that means we need a anti-racist, pro-Black response. And so that's targeted. Sometimes that is about investment in specific communities, investment in infrastructure. It could be, you know, the conversations around remediation and reparations, the conversations around baby bonds and investing in all children, but especially Black children. You know, these are things that are kind of policy levels at the private or the public level that could really make a difference. And I think we need to think about those sorts of policies as well. And then in this state, we need to think about Milwaukee, investing in making Milwaukee work for all the people of Milwaukee, and getting transportation systems, you know, the bus lines end at the county borders still, I think, and driving a car in a lot of suburbs, if you're Black, is almost a guarantee of police interaction. The level of racism faced by folks in Milwaukee and as they try and interact with economic opportunity in the suburbs, really a question. The investment in the public schools, the infrastructure around the schools, those are three kind of areas of ideas to think about moving towards equity.
So changing the context and the fact of these disparities is going to take us generations if we're honest about it. We'll need all kinds of institutional and societal change and government policies that will compel new adherence to some of these norms and decision-making. So that seems pretty daunting. And what you're just been talking about now kind of points us in the direction of how we can begin to address some of these gaps. Can you suggest any groups that we might look to for positive examples of how to deal with these issues, or perhaps that we at Bethel might collaborate with?
Yeah, I will make some suggestions and understand that this is like a starter list, not the comprehensive list. So in the city of Madison, you know, I think there is great work going on the Luzier Center, the Luzier Community Education Center on the west side, has the Neighborhood Organizing Institute. Relations to Wexford Ridge does great community-facing, Black community-facing organizing work. The Dane County Time Bank is doing abolitionist letter writing and community helpline. There's volunteer opportunities and advocacy opportunities and training and restorative and abolitionist justice principles going on at the Dane County Time Bank. Sabrina Madison, running the Progress Center for Black Women, is supporting Black women and directing resources and uplifting Black women and their families in, I think, important ways. Freedom Inc. has done amazing organizing around issues of the police and questions of police violence in this city, but also around community safety, domestic violence. Urban Triage also is doing amazing work. And then Race to Equity has been shining this light at Kids Forward on racial disparities, justified anger, of course. You know, there's a lot of work going on led by people of color on all these issues, from religious organizations to community organizing organizations, and connecting to through donation, through volunteering is what I'd suggest.
I'm embarrassed to say that a lot of those organizations that you mentioned, I'm not familiar with, and there's all that work going on and we don't know. So I guess we have a lot of potential partners that we might contact or that we might get to work with. When we get more to the action phase of this program, now we're still concentrating on education. Clearly, there's a lot of education to be done. Thank you very much to Laura for sharing your expertise and your very valuable insights on this crucial question of how Wisconsin can live up to its aspirations to make this truly a fair and inclusive home for all our citizens. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Let's Talk as we explore our call to justice and mercy here at Bethel Lutheran Church. For more information, check out the Act Jam page on Bethel's website at bethel-madison.org/actjam. That's bethel-madison.org/ACTJAM.